right. Well, good to see everybody this morning. Just another beautiful day. The nice weather's just hanging on. We'll take it. Hope it hangs on for a few more weeks. It's good to be outside in it. Luke chapter 5 is where we're at this morning. Luke 5 verses 1 through 11. I'll read through that. We're looking at Peter. So the next 4 weeks we'll look at Peter and really hoping to get a kind of an overview of the journey of faith. So, you know, I think you can kind of categorize the journey of faith a little bit. You know, people come to experience Christ in some way, or they get a curiosity about Jesus or the Christian faith. They start asking questions and searching some things out. Maybe second part of that is that they make a profession of faith. They kind of surrender to Jesus. That'll be week two. We'll look at Peter's profession. And then after you give your life to Christ, you're following after him, you're living based on what we see in Scripture, there's usually some ups and downs, right? Just like any relationship that we're in. And Peter experiences that as well. Week three, we'll look at his failure, where he denies Christ. And then week four, we'll look at this restoration process. And we see components of that in all our walks of faith as we just journey alongside of Jesus. So today we'll look at Peter interacting with Jesus kind of at the time he makes the decision to go with him. But before we jump into the text, I wanted to share just a few stories. I've had a fair amount of people keep asking me, hey, are you going to share anything about Korea, your time in Korea? And I've just touched on a few things, but I've had enough people ask, I thought I'd share a few stories. And if you want to know more, I'm happy to share more with you. I could share all morning about different people I met and experiences I had, but I want to share just a few of those. Before I went, a couple months before I went to Korea, I was talking to my son Harper about adopting from Korea, and the conversation went to North Korea and just the how there's not much gospel presence in North Korea because of the political environment there. You know, you can't just profess faith, and there's people, it's dangerous to even talk about Jesus in North Korea. So we prayed that night for North Korea that God would just open up doors for the gospel to be brought to people in North Korea. And we prayed for Kim Jong-un and that God would just work in his heart and change things. We prayed for a reunification of those countries, that people would be allowed into North Korea. And then 2 months later, approximately, I'm in South Korea, and I meet this guy named David. David, as I mentioned, he basically works as the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Korea. I met him through a series of emails, and he let me know. He says, hey, Trent, I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet with some North Korean believers. You get to worship in a North Korean church. And so I'm like jazzed up. I'm a kid in a candy shop, and this trip just turned into a mission trip. And that's really what I'd been praying for and hoping for, because I was going to have 4 weeks there by myself, didn't know anybody. But God provided this man, and he had all these opportunities laid out. Unfortunately, a lot of those were wiped away because they had a spike in their COVID, and they're really conservative, tight over there. So some of that went away. But I did get a chance to have lunch with a North Korean believer. I have a picture of that. And so for me, sitting across the table from this lady, hearing her share her story of coming to Christ, the two other people, so the lady on my right and the man on my left are missionaries. The lady on the far left is the North Korean believer, and she just shared how she got to know these people, how they led her to faith over really a series of months. She went back to her family in North Korea and brought six other people with her out of Korea. From North Korea, they go into China, and then they go into Laos, and then they go into Thailand, and then they get to be in South Korea, where they get immediate citizenship, and South Korea just kind of takes them in. So was just blown away at the work God is doing in North Korea, the underground church that's there that I never would have suspected, that people are getting resources to people they know back in North Korea and having opportunities to share the gospel just by sharing material goods because of a lot of the political stuff that's happening. North Korea is getting clamped down on. They're not getting as much aid and partnership from other countries, so they're really struggling in a lot of ways. Just practically, they don't have food. They don't have the clothes that they need. So Christian people are sharing those goods, and as people come, they're singing hymns strategically, and over time, these people start to grow an interest in what they're talking about. Eventually, people are led to faith, but that's one you can be praying about. There's some potential partnerships there with doing ministry into North Korea, some North Korean people who would possibly come and visit us, some South Korean people who would come and visit us, and just a lot of neat potential there. So right now, there's not much, but there's possibilities, so I invite you to be praying for that one. Another conversation I had, I'll share with you, is with David. David's the name of the guy I was with, and David was, he brought me to Camp Humphreys. Camp Humphreys is a military base in South Korea. So David was a U.S. Army veteran. He served 20 years in the U.S. Army. He's Korean, but he's an American citizen. So we went into this Army base, and we're having lunch, and he's asking me, hey, what are you going to do? You know, when do you get Victor? And I said, well, I'll probably give Victor, I'd just been assigned the day, I'd give Victor Tuesday. Well, when do you go home? Well, I'll go home Saturday. And he looks at me, he's like, you're going to have Victor by yourself from Tuesday to Saturday? I was like, yeah, you know, it'll be fine. We got a hotel room. He's like, you're just staying in a hotel room with Victor from Tuesday to Saturday by yourself? I said, yeah, you know, it's going to be all right. And he goes back to eating his lunch. He's just silent. And he looks at me, he says, I can't let you do that, Trent. He's like, you need to stay with us. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a great offer, such a kind gesture. I said, well, I don't need to stay in your space. I've been in their house. You know, I'm like, that's really nice, very generous. He's like, no, you need to do this. So I was able to stay with them, with Victor. They prepared all our meals. They gave us a place to sleep. They obviously could speak Korean and just really helped bridge that gap. And, I mean, they were a blessing in so many ways, you know, just time and time again. So that was one way I really just saw God show up in a big way. And David reminded me that. He's like, this is God's love for you. This isn't just me. Like, this is God caring for you. You need to let us do this because God's asking us to do it for you. So that was really, really exciting just to see that. Another one was the plane ride home. I got a picture of this one. So I was nervous about the plane ride home because it was just me and Victor, and he's just been yanked out of everything that he knows, right? So I'm worried he's going to be crying, he's going to be fidgety, he's going to want to be moving around, but he was an angel on the airplane. He just sat there. He slept for maybe 5 hours of it. He didn't watch many movies or TV, surprisingly, but he was great. He literally did not hardly fuss at all. I picked him up one time just to walk around a little bit, but he was great. So that was an answer to prayer. Arriving home, I get a picture here, the first time our kids got to meet Victor, that's at the airport. And I love how you can see them just get down on his level, almost second nature. You know, they always tell you if you're talking with kids, you get down to their eye level so you can communicate. And Harper and Honor are doing that. Jory's there with them as well. But they're loving each other. I mean, the kids love having Victor with them. Victor loves having them. I do think some of the honeymoon phase is wearing off. They're getting the reality of a two-year-old interrupting with Legos and stinky diapers and helping out with all that stuff. But it's been great, and really couldn't ask for much more. And with that, I just encourage everybody who's here to consider whether you may have space for one more. Because I think in this area, we have a lot of resources. We have families that are pretty strong, and we have love to give. So don't be afraid of it. Wade into those waters. Pray about it. See if God might invite you to give a child a home who doesn't have a mother or a father. They'll go to bed tonight without the ability to say, good night, Mom, good night, Dad. But you could give them that opportunity. And that's just a great thing. And I'm sure they would be a blessing to you as they become a part of your family. If you want to talk about it, I'd love to talk more about it. We have multiple families who have adopted. So we have multiple children who have been adopted in this room. So you could talk to them as well, but we're grateful for that environment that we have here. But it's really what David was talking about that I want to talk about today with you, and that was what he was saying about, you know, this is God's love. He told me, he says, Trent, God is our Father. Our Father, he wants to bless his children. He has gifts, and he wants to provide those for you. So I'm offering to give you this place to live, and you need to let me do that. That's God, the Father, providing for you. And I was processing that and thinking about it this week, and I jotted down this note. It says, some people know that God loves them, but they don't know God's love for them. Some people know that God loves them, but they do not know God's love for them. Big difference, I think. You can acknowledge that God loves you, but do you know that love that He has for you? Has that become a part of who you are? Has that penetrated into your being? Has it changed you in the way that you think, and the way that you process life, and the way you view yourself and other people? There's a big difference when we go from this angle of looking at God that says, yeah, I believe God loves me, and step into the rays of light that say, I know God's love for me. I'm receiving that with open hands. That's what I want to talk about today. This series, as I mentioned, is about discovering joy, or rediscovering joy, maybe. And I think that's a big part of it. We can't just settle here of saying, I know God loves me, and I need to acknowledge that. And we need to shift lanes a little bit and get into this place where we can know God's love to receive that. We do not experience God's joy by just acknowledging that God loves us and believing in Him. We experience God's joy by receiving the love that He has for us and allowing that to change who we are. So we're going to look at the life of Peter for a bit. I think it's going to illustrate some of that I was just talking about. So let me pray for us, and then we'll read Luke 5, 1 through 11. Father God, we just come before You now, and we open up Your Word, and we trust it to be true. So we pray, God, that Your Word would shape us and conform us into the image of Your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness, and that You are so gracious as to adopt us into Your eternal family and to call us children. What a privilege it is just to be with You and to have You as our Father, who wants to just bestow Your grace and mercy upon us. So God, I pray for each person who's here this morning, maybe some who are, they're all in and chasing after You, maybe some who are discouraged and rejecting You or turning away from You or asking difficult questions. Lord, no matter where we're at, I pray that You would just help us to open up our hearts this morning and receive Your love, to receive what You have for us, to humble ourselves before You and choose to live by Your ways and not our own. So help us with that this morning. Be with me as I speak these words, that they be pleasing to You and useful in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke 5, 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Him, on Jesus, to hear the word of God, He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and He saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, He asked them to put out a little from the land. I like that. They're not Jesus' boats, but He just hops right in, puts out to the land. I'll take that. He asked to put out a little bit from the land. He sat down and He taught the people from the boat. When He finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered Him, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing, but at Your word I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Neat there that this act of Jesus impacts more people than just those right with Him, right? People around Him start seeing what's happening. They start coming to help. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Him. So, did you catch that in there? I think it's interesting what Peter's response is to bringing fish in, right? Jesus does this amazing act, calls them to put down their nets. They just put their nets down all day probably, and they didn't catch anything. Jesus says, "Put them down again." They raise them up, and they're full of fish, like filling two boats up type full of fish. And Peter's response is to fall to the knees of Jesus and start admitting his sins. Like, where did that come from? They weren't talking about morality. They weren't talking about who's sinful or who's not. Like, Jesus is just pulling up fish. And I think Peter gives that response because he all of a sudden realizes the lights go off, that this guy is much more than just some good guy with decent thoughts. Like, this really is the Christ. He's really the Messiah, and he's a special company, so he's not comfortable around Jesus. In fact, Peter, when he falls down, he says, "Get away from me, for I'm a sinful man." We talked about that last week, the end of the sermon last week, how sometimes we might do things that make us feel like we're not even worthy of Jesus. Like, he's so good and upright. Or maybe even people in the church, you feel like you can't be in a Bible study with certain people because they're just rocking it spiritually, but you got some issues that you're trying to work through, so you're like, that's not for me. I'll stay back. I'll stay over here. Peter says, just get away from me. I'm a sinful man. He sees that Jesus has love for him. He's blessing him. He allowed him to catch all this fish, but he's not willing to receive that. He's not willing to step into Jesus' presence and go with him. So let's take a little closer look at this. How can we get into that place of living in God's love, of going with Jesus day by day and experiencing that? The first point I'd like to discuss today, to know God's love, we'll need to be willing to do what's uncomfortable. And we see that time and again throughout Scripture. And it's illustrated here by this moment when Jesus tells them to go back out into the water. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered him, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down your nets." You can imagine the discouragement of Peter, right? If you go back to verse 2, we see that they had just washed their nets. So all the nets are clean. They're probably folding them up for the next day, right? If you're a fisherman, you like to fish, you know that sometimes you throw your nets out and you bring them in and they get moss on them or they get seaweed on them. And if you've ever left those without cleaning them up the next day, like it's like glued on there, right? It gets hard and it's crusty and you got to pick it off. We know Peter's not using a rod and reel, right? He's using a net that he cast down in the water. You can imagine when they're lifting that net up out of the water, it's getting all that gunk on it, all that nasty stuff. They probably get tangled up pretty easily, and they got it all washed up, and Jesus shows up and says, "Hey, Peter, let's go do it again." He's like, "Are you serious? We just cleaned it, and we didn't catch anything anyways. We're probably not going to catch anything again, but Master," interesting, he calls him Master, "Master, if you say so, when you tell me to put them down, we'll throw them in again." So we see he has to go into this place of discomfort. And I think that illustrates a spiritual reality for us. If we want to experience God's love, God's joy in our life in a personal, tangible, real way, there's a pretty good chance at some point we're going to have to step through some things that make us uncomfortable. Or we're going to have to wade into some waters that maybe we haven't been in before to discover what God has for us. And with Peter, obviously, they throw down the nets and the rest is history. They pull up two boatfuls of fish. And I wonder what it is in our life if we would wade into those waters where it's uncomfortable and follow after Jesus in obedience. What does he want to pull up out of the water for us? What is it he wants to provide for us that we can see, man, this is not just a guy with some good thoughts. This is somebody much more, much greater. But the only way we get to see the catch that he has in store is if we step into those places that he's calling us to go. And it might not be easy. Remember, Peter didn't have a motor to start up and buzz out there. He sat down on the bench and started rowing. He wasn't too excited, probably. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He made that pretty clear. One example I shared this morning at the first service, an adjustment of wading into waters that you might not be comfortable with. One of those for me early in my life of seeking after Jesus was changing the music that I listened to. You know, I think sometimes we think of big stuff, like, oh, I got to make some big decision, or I got to go have this serious conversation with somebody. Maybe it's just a small thing, like changing the music you listen to on the way to and from work or when you're hanging around the house. When I started changing the music I listened to, that changed everything. It changes what's filling your mind, right? And then what's filling your heart, really? Because that impacts the way that we think. You know, I've thought about doing a sermon series on this. You can shoot me an email if you think it's a good one. Taking like the top five songs in the country right now and just analyzing the lyrics. You know, you take a song that a lot of kids listen to and you just read the lyrics to them and they realize how ridiculous the lyrics really are. That affects us. So for me, that was huge. I don't know what it is in your life, but if you sense God's nudging you to do some things, to wade into some places you're not comfortable, just go with Him. He's got plans to use that experience. Secondly, to know God's love for us, we'll need to acknowledge who Jesus is. You'll probably see some overlap here of last week, Psalm 51, and this week, Peter and David going through similar experiences. We'll need to acknowledge who Jesus is. And we see that verse 8 and 9, if you want to take a quick look. Verse 8 and 9 says, "But when Simon Peter saw this, all the fish that had been brought up, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken." So again, I think what's bringing that behavior, that response, is this recognition, this acknowledgement that Jesus is not an ordinary guy. There was something going on here that he knew if you go back out and you throw the nets down, I'm going to load you up with a bunch of fish. And that was a miracle that Peter's recognizing, and he's like, oh my goodness, this really is the Christ. It had been proposed to Peter that this was the Christ before he had this experience. If you look at Peter's interaction with Jesus, Peter's call to Jesus, to follow Jesus in John chapter 1, I think it's verse 40, you'll see that Andrew was Peter's brother. Andrew first met Jesus. He spent the day with Jesus. He went back to Jesus' house. And then after he spent that day with Jesus, Andrew went to Peter, to Simon Peter, and he said, "Peter, we found the Christ. We found the Messiah." So this has been proposed to him, and now he's seen evidence of it, lived out. And it's forcing him into this posture of falling to the knees of Jesus and acknowledging his sin. He's recognizing Jesus for who he really is. And I think that's important for us to discover the love, the joy, the peace that God wants us to have. Are we living for Jesus as if he's really the Savior and Lord of our life? Or are we living for Jesus as if he's just a good guy with some decent thoughts that we can pick and choose? You know, at this point, I'll go with him. But at this point, it's not so comfortable, so I'm just going to hold off on that one. But when we submit to him as Lord of our life, we follow after him, I think the path that leads into is really new life. Psalm 16, I jotted this down. "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." So Peter says, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Like, go your way." And Peter may have still believed that he was the Christ. And he may believe that Jesus loved him. But unless he goes with Jesus and stays in his presence, he's not going to experience that joy, that love that God has for him. That joy and that love flows out of relationship, and that requires some vulnerability on our part to go to Jesus in that manner. You know, I imagine all of us could think of people that when they walk into the room, you respect them just because of who they are. And if they speak, you're going to listen to them. Whether that's because they have an area of expertise in your profession or they're just somebody who's really influenced you over the course of life, we all have people, when they walk in and they start speaking, we start listening. They've earned that right. An example I thought of with that, in South Korea, one of the things I did, a family brought me to a park where there's this huge statue of Douglas MacArthur. You can put it up there. I got a picture of it. So you see in the background, just this massive statue. And I went up to that, and there's a plaque on there saying why they have this big statue of General MacArthur. Some of you probably already know, history buffs. June 25th, I'll read what the plaque says. "On June 25th, 1950, the Communist Party from the North launched an attack against our republic. Instantly, the American government came to our rescue, and General MacArthur was ordered to command the forces joined in battle against the North. It was here, at Incheon, that we knew the immeasurable height of his genius. With the infinite capacity of his vision, he conceived, and on September 15, 1950, he personally executed an almost unbelievable landing operation, which instantly turned the course of the war to the triumph of freedom and the salvation of this republic. This is a deed, and this is a man to hold eternally in honorable memory. We shall never forget what this man and his men did for us for freedom. And until the last battle against that malignant infection of communism has finally been won, may we never forget that it was he who also said, in war, there is no substitute for victory. Now, this is a guy, if he walks into the room with a bunch of generals after this defeat, they're going to listen, right? Because he just single-handedly made a decision and formed a strategy that turned the whole currents of that battle. And you can hear it in the South Korean, the people that put this statue up, like they have a deep respect and honor for General MacArthur because of what he has done. When he walked into a room, people were going to listen. And I wonder, when Jesus comes before us and lays out his ways, his paths that lead to life, do we really submit to those? Do we acknowledge him as the one who's Lord of our life, who has plans to bring us into freedom, or do we just kind of measure what he's proposing as an option? Maybe so, maybe not. That's uncomfortable, so I'm going to stay over here. Even if it's uncomfortable, if it's Jesus leading us there, are we willing to submit to him and to follow after that? Finally, I believe we'll know God's love for us when we choose to live for his purposes. So I imagine before Jesus came along to Peter, Peter's probably like an ordinary person, right? He wants to have a good life. He wants to have some good experiences. He wants to take care of his family. He wants to be good at his profession, whatever he's doing. Maybe, through a spiritual lens, we might even say Peter wanted to please God. He wanted to do things that made God happy, to be a good guy. But then Jesus comes along and wants to change everything. He says, towards the end of this, verse 10, it says, James and John, sons of Zebedee, were there. They're partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. So I have a new plan for you, Peter, like a new purpose for your existence. You used to catch fish. Now I want you to catch people. And we'll see, throughout Scripture, it's not that every person has to leave their profession to be a catcher of men. Sometimes you can use your profession to catch men. The point here Jesus is getting at is you're going to be someone whose heart, your desire, your fulfillment comes from pursuit of people, from partnering with me and my mission in the world. Interestingly, just before this text that we read, chapter 4, you can see at the end of chapter 4, verse 43, The people were trying to get Jesus to go with them, right? All these crowds, they wanted to have Jesus by them. But Jesus said this to them. He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose, to preach the good news of the gospel to all these other towns. This is the new purpose that Jesus is inviting Peter into. Peter, you used to fish for fish. Now I'm inviting you to fish for people. It's completely changed the purpose of Peter's life. That's what he's inviting him into. And really, that's when we get to experience the love and joy of Christ, when we're participating in what he has created us to do. We'll see that in the end, it really becomes all about Jesus. That's the news that is being shared, right? That is the good news that's going to all these different communities, is who Christ is, that he's come to save us, to forgive us. We get to participate in that. So if we're talking about discovering joy, if you're looking for sustainable joy in your life that survives any circumstance, any environment that you're living in, I will see that it starts with Jesus. And when we're living with him, we get to experience that in our life. Jeremiah chapter 15, it says, your words were found, and I ate them, the prophet Jeremiah. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name. See, this, it became a joy and his delight when he was consuming the words of God, all that God had in store for him. And I think that's what we see as we go with Jesus. We're proclaiming this good news of the gospel, and we see that God has chosen us to participate in this mission, and that in itself becomes our joy and our fulfillment, just being with Christ. It's not the comfort. It's not having nice things. It's not that we got a lot of fish or a lot of money. It's that we get to be with Christ, and because of who He is, that becomes our joy. And before I close this morning, I want to knock down some barriers again that might be popping up in front of some of you. I mentioned these last week, but somebody listening this morning, you might start to think down the path that Peter went and think, it's not me. I'm not the type of person who goes with Jesus and lives all in on a Christian life. Or you're thinking, I got some stuff in my life I need to clean up first. There's some things that are just out of line and it shouldn't be that way. And maybe you're feeling like you're not worthy of it. You need to change it. Just thinking you're not the type that Jesus is looking for. But what does Jesus speak into that way of thinking? What does He tell Peter? He says, Peter, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Isn't that great? You know, Peter just falls before Him and says, I'm a sinner. Get away from me. And Jesus says, Peter, forget about that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I got a new purpose. I got a new way of living for you. Peter, don't worry. I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to scold you. I'm not here to point out all the things that you've done wrong. I'm not worried about what you did yesterday. I'm not worried about what you did earlier today. I'm not worried about what you did 10 years ago, that thing you can't forget about. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about your heart. What was Psalm 51? A broken spirit, a contrite heart. That's what pleases the Lord. Peter, if you love me, if you want to be with me, let's go. And I think there's probably some of us who need to insert ourselves into that, whatever your name is. He's not mad at you. He's not here to punish you. He's not here to scold you. He's not here to condemn you. He's not worried about what you did last week or 10 years ago. He wants to know, do you want to go with Him? Are you pleased by what you're hearing, by what you're seeing? Do you want to be set free of that? Do you want to experience a different way of living, a different style of life? Then let's go. Let's go with Jesus. We'll see that He's gentle, He's kind, He's gracious, He's merciful. He came to be with the sinners, right? He's in that mess with us. There's a story to illustrate some of this. The first mission trip I went on, I think I've shared this story before, but on our free day in Jamaica, that was the first place I went. I was just out of high school, went to Jamaica, and we had a free day, and we went to the beach, and there's these big trampolines, right? Maybe you've seen these. They put them out in the water, and you can climb up on a trampoline, and you know the kids like to play King of the Raft or whatever, and you just hang out on these trampolines. So I'm out on one of these trampolines, and this guy pops up out of the water, Jamaican guy. He hops up, and I remember he had a hat on because I thought that was weird. He was swimming through the water with a hat. He had all his clothes on. I'm like, what's this guy doing? So we start talking, and it comes out that this guy's a drug dealer. And he's about my age. He's a drug dealer. And he's trying to get away from these guys who are chasing after him because the drug deal that he was a part of didn't go the way that it was supposed to go. I'm from Ohio, New Knoxville. I'm just hoping some guy doesn't pop up out of the water with a gun and try and get this dude or something. But try and set that aside. And we're talking, just having conversation. It, you know, comes up as to why I'm there. So it's while I'm on a mission trip. You know, we're doing these drama things where we share the gospel, talked about Jesus a little bit, and I was trying to gauge where he's at spiritually. You know, are you a believer in Jesus? Do you go to church? And his interaction with Christians was actually through his drug trafficking. He says, actually, we use churches to traffic our drugs. We put the drugs under specific church pews, and people know where to go to get those. So they go to that pew and they grab it. So the Christians I know aren't really much different than myself. So he had the idea of hypocrite, right? They're not that much different than him, so why would he want to be a part of that? And he also said the life that he was living, he didn't know if he could get out of that. Like, he's stuck in that. And maybe you feel that way this morning, kind of stuck where you're at. Now, his was for personal safety. Like, he's afraid if he gets out of this, there's going to be some guys running him down. You might feel like you can't get out of that because it's, you know, just the persona that you've built for yourself, or your identity. at work or in your family or in your community. You know, maybe you're the funny person, and your humor depends on things that maybe don't honor God, or maybe you're the person who likes to have a good time on the weekends, and your buddies would be a little disappointed if you weren't there to have a few beers and stay a little later. You know, I've talked to people who've had to leave those situations, leave those environments with their friends, and there's fear of isolation. There's fear of going alone, right? These are my friends. This is what I do. If I leave them, who am I? Who's left to be with me? Where am I going to go? So I wanted to address those. The first one, I'd say, don't make your decision about following Jesus dependent on the people around you, the people in a church or the Christians that you know, because all Christians, he's right, we're hypocrites in a way, because we hold up a perfect gospel, and what we're all chasing after is a perfect person, Jesus Christ, and we're bound to fail. We can't do it good enough. We depend on his grace and his mercy. So there might be people who have made a mess of their faith, but don't make your decision to follow after Jesus based on them. Make your decision to follow after Jesus based on the person of Jesus. And the second part of that, of having fear of leaving something that you're not comfortable leaving, maybe it's a collection of friends, maybe it's your family, you're like, I can't do that to my family. What are they going to say about me? What are they going to think about me? Remember what Jesus says, don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid. I got some things in store. 2 boatloads of fish, right? What's he have in store for us? We can go through that. And I assure you, if you don't have somebody to journey alongside of, or you want to process that, let me know. We have people who would be privileged to journey alongside of you for that. Verse 11, Jesus just told them not to be afraid. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I think there again, we see that's an outward expression of an inward reality, and that they might have left their nets, they might have left their boats, but Peter's talking spiritually here. He's talking about sins, and surely Peter is not just leaving behind his boat, he's not just leaving behind his nets, he's leaving behind these sins that he's confessing before Jesus. He left everything behind, and he followed him. So, you know, as we go out of this place today, every single one of us has this choice that we get to make, which is really God's grace in itself, that we're seated in a room this morning hearing from Scripture about this God and this person, Jesus, who we have a chance to follow after. There's a lot of people in the world don't get that opportunity, but is sitting in front of us here, and we have this chance to make a choice. When I leave today, am I going to follow him, or am I going to go my own way? Am I going to say, Master and Lord, and do what he says, even if it's uncomfortable, or are we going to go our own way? It's a decision that all of us get to make. So as I close this morning, I want to invite you just to spend time thinking about that, whether maybe you're making the choice for the 50th time and you just need to get back in the game. Maybe it's the first time you made that choice of saying, Lord, I want to follow after you in all ways. Maybe you know somebody who's struggling through stuff. You could pray for them. So I'll give you just a minute or so to spend some time with the Lord, and I'll close us with prayer. Father God, it seems oftentimes it's so easy to think of you, and unfortunately we think of you from a posture of fear, wondering if you're pleased with us, if we've been doing enough to make you happy, and if we've done some wrong things, we feel like we need to rebalance those scales by doing better things and getting back to church or reading more of the Bible or joining a Bible study or hanging out with the right people. And when we do those good things, you'll be happier with us, like we can do enough good to please you. I pray, God, that we would just take this posture of Peter and just go before you with the mentality that acknowledges our wrongdoing, because we are a sinful people and we don't deserve to be in your presence. But I pray that you would help us to hear your gracious and merciful voice that says, hey, don't be afraid. It's okay. Not worried about that. That's why Jesus came, to pay the price for our sins on our behalf. And that's where he was leading Peter as they followed him, was to the cross. So I pray we would take joy, and it would be, really would be our deepest joy in knowing that we've been set free from all that and we can follow after you. So God, I pray for those maybe who are resistant to it or wrestling through things, that you would reveal yourself to them in powerful ways, Lord. So we pray all this in Jesus' name, that you'd go before us this week. Amen. Well, as always, you're invited forward after the service. Share a time of prayer or praise. If you have something you'd like to pray about, there will be people up here to pray with you. Otherwise, you may go and have a blessed week.